Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush this week, together with Rob Bray from Mighty Hand Construction. Rob, how'd you enjoy your first hour? Did you hold
up? It was awesome. Yeah, glad to be here. It's fun.
Okay. Okay. Folks, we are talking this week about looking back and looking forward, and today specifically about faith and family in America. How did 2020 affect it, and what does 2021 look like? And I really want to do that this hour, for the first half hour. Just look back and look forward with the church and with families and how they are affected. So I'm going to throw some questions at you. You ready?
I love it. Let's go.
Rob, first of all, COVID. Okay, when did it really start to ramp up? April, I would say?
Yeah, I mean, March is when the real lockdowns happened, but we were all still waiting to see what was going on. April, I think, was the deciding factor of what do churches do? Because we started to realize it wasn't, the flattening the curve wasn't exactly what we thought, and so then pastors had a decision to make.
Exactly, and when did the hopelessness start setting in? Because at first, you're right, we were thinking, hey, okay, we'll not gather for now. It's just a few weeks.
Yep.
Maybe it's a month or two, you know, but eventually we're going to get back to some kind of normal.
Yep.
And you basically had government use COVID to come in and shut down the church.
Right.
Okay.
The very people that would hail the separation of church and state, even though I think they forget what that means.
They use state to crush church.
Exactly. They used their and abused the power. And, you know, on top of that, we had BLM. We had George Floyd. We had the riots.
Oh, we're going to get to those in a moment.
I mean, but it was all happening simultaneously. So when did it set in? I would say, for me and our community, we were able to make it through the spring and summer meeting outdoors. I think the real despair set in the fall when the schools were added to the shutdown.
Right.
And that's really when people are like, oh man, this is not going back.
Okay. And really quick here, like I want to remind people, if you're hearing this and thinking, well, Rob, you're selfish. As our governor would say, you're a selfish bastard. You want to get these people together, have these super spreader events,
yeah,
and all this kind of terrible stuff. And Rob is looking back at people saying, look, this isn't the plague. I'm looking at numbers. The plague wiped out a third. This has, with calling everything a COVID death, that is where COVID is in any way, shape, or form connected, this is still at 0.1%. We're being reasonable here.
Right.
You can't shut down everything in life, be it businesses or the church or schools and all this, based on something where, guys, you could shelter those who are truly at risk.
Sure.
And let the rest of life continue on as it would. Basically, you've got governors who, I'm just going to be honest, they hate the church, a number of them. Not all, of course.
But a number of governors hate
the church, and they're using this as a weapon. Am I right?
Right. They've proven they don't believe it's essential. And why would they? It's not in their worldview. It's not in their purview. I mean, we actually believe, as pastors, clearly it's our calling. But even as a husband, father, business owner, we believe that people are more than just bodies. They're hearts, minds, and souls. And so the human contact, getting together in the same room, seeing each other's faces, shaking hands, exchanging a hug, hearing a message, singing these hymns, these traditions that we've held for thousands of years, tapping into something larger than yourself and placing your hope in something unchanging, especially in a year when everything else is changing all around you. We believe it's good for the human soul, the heart, the mind, the psyche. And it actually can improve your physical health, right?
Yes, it can.
And ironically, actually getting out there and strengthening your immune system. You know, there were some pastors in the Springs, Colorado Springs, who banded together who said, let's, instead of running from this and retreating from COVID, let's take it head on. And they encouraged their church to take immune boosters. They encouraged their church to go on 5K runs. They started eating healthier as a church. And it started with one church and then nine. And now there's a coalition of 30 churches that are saying, hey, we're going to stay open. We're not going to do all the mandates. We're going to get through COVID rather than running away from COVID.
Yeah. In other words, they said, why don't we use actual health to combat something that is unhealthy?
Sickness. Yeah.
Yes. What a concept. You know, one thing that I really heard in what you said there, Rob, that I love is the word essential. Mm. You see, because you've got a governor right now here in Colorado who clearly thinks the church is not essential. There's no question. I don't care.
The Supreme Court had to override it.
Yeah. I do not. They had to override it. I do not care what kind of spin he puts out and what kind of excuses he makes. Okay. I don't care. All right. When you say things that you like can still gather and things that you don't like don't gather, that means you don't like those things. But here's what gets me. The Karens want to declare that you are non-essential. But when have you seen the church in Colorado try to declare other things non-essential? I mean, you can say things that are not part of the church, right? Strip bars. Mm-hmm, all right. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, hey, I like casinos. I worked in them for many years. The church was obviously... they could call casinos not essential, bars, whatever, right? And yet I haven't heard one pastor come out and say, those things are not essential, don't go to them because of COVID.
Right.
I only hear the Karens pointing at the church and saying that. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, there's a double standard, you know, and that's really the whole point of our nation, if you know your American history, was that the Puritans, the Pilgrims, the Separatists, we wanted a free land to raise our children in our faith and be able to worship freely. But there were also businessmen and entrepreneurs that came across, and we wanted to essentially leave each other alone and be able to influence one another, again, through the marketplace of ideas. But there was an essence of freedom, and I think we've lost that, and we've tried to force our agenda on others rather than win people over with logic and with reason.
Okay, right now we're talking about shutdowns. Let's talk about division, okay? I want to look at the effects of the BLM movement and the election fraud that hit and everything. All of this
in 2020.
The pro-Trump, are you pro-Trump? Are you anti-Trump? Are you whatever Trump? I'm sorry, I'm in the church. I'm here worshiping. I'm pro-God, okay? But have you seen a lot of division creep into the church from these external forces?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've seen basically
how much?
I mean, our church has before Micah and I decided to step out in faith and start our own church. Spoiler alert, listeners out there, Spirit and Truth International will be coming to Northern Colorado here starting in January. You can go to spiritandtruthinternational.org.
Excellent.
Micah and I, as again, local business owners and fathers and husbands, we just decided enough is enough. We got to step up and we got to stand out and we've got to open the church and be the hope and preach the truth, even the hard truth that people don't want to hear. But
you were seeing the church, first of all, not being open.
Yes.
But as you just said, you were also seeing division.
The division was there in our former church. I mean, interpersonal conflict. The fact that, I mean, it seemed to all kind of line up. So if you had those that, when BLM and the racial issue came out, you had obviously the two main camps that white privilege should be condemned, and that's the real problem. And you had other people saying, whoa, wait a second. Obviously, police officers should be trained not to needlessly take life, but they're not all evil. It's not all racially motivated, and something else is happening here. And so there was a big divide in our church over that racial issue.
Yeah, but once again, Rob, here's what gets me. It's not that people have a different point of view. It is that the people on the left with those issues, they freak out and they call you a racist the moment you bring up facts.
Right.
They call you a COVID denier the moment you bring up numbers.
But that's
when
part of their strategy, though.
But what are they doing in the church?
Yeah, well, they're doing the same thing, and they all seem to line up, right? So you mentioned three issues, BLM, COVID, and the election.
Right.
And what you had was people that bought in to critical race theory. You had people, this is the left, you had people that bought in to the COVID
Okay,
scaredemic.
Really quick, I'm going to just say it. Critical race theory is anti-Christian, period,
right.
End of story.
Right, and we could unpack that, but just to keep going
yeah,
here.
Yeah, keep going.
So you had people that bought into critical race theory, the COVID narrative from the mainstream media, the fear-demic, and then you had people who vote for Biden. And honestly, they were all on the same side. And then you had people on the right who said, wait a second, critical race theory is the false gospel and something else is going on here and police aren't all racist. Then you, with COVID, they said, I think we should stay open. I'm not buying these numbers. And then with the election, we said, wait a second, something's wrong. There's fraud going on. Let's look into this. Let's do research. And so there is a theme. There is a split, a divide of those that were basing their decisions off of popular culture and feelings and really just social media regurgitation. And typically that was on the left. And then you had those that were using what I would call critical thinking, people that were using logic, reason. And usually those people had some sort of commitment, whether it was to country through the military or was God in their faith. They had something else that grounded them, their tradition, their grandparents, something that caused them to think, huh, maybe the narrative that's being pushed on all these issues isn't true. And so you had the narrative buy-ins and you had the narrative people that said, wait a second. And that's where the major split was on all these issues.
Here's the thing that I want to ask before we go to break, because it's the truth that sets you free, not just
Come
eternally,
on.
But the truth in
Come
every situation
yes.
sets
what
you free.
What are the facts? Well,
right?
facts aren't really sought after anymore.
Right. You've just had a car accident. Two people get in a car accident. The cop comes up. The cop is trying to discern the truth of what happened,
yes.
why the truth will set you free.
Right.
Okay. Did you ever notice during all of this, the people who were, shall we say, on the right in
yep.
this? Not just
yep.
people who agree with you, but I mean people who were looking at COVID in perspective,
right?
People who are looking at the attacks, you know, at the riots and all this
mm-hmm.
stuff in perspective
mm-hmm.
and so forth. People who are looking at real evidence on the election and saying, hey, this looks like it was stolen. Did you ever see those people on the right silencing the people on the left when the people offered their facts and figures?
No, and that's the main difference. You just hit it on the head. I mean,
Bingo.
we literally had best friends, people we considered best friends, but because I helped to spearhead an event in Fort Collins, Let Us Worship, 4,000 people in City Park, because we wanted the church to be able to worship, we lost some of our best friends. We've also lost some of our best friends because we voted for Trump, and we were vocal about that. We didn't want to be ashamed of that. We lost some of the people we just never thought that the politics would come between us. And what we've realized is, wow, faith, politics, perspective, like these things actually really matter when crisis comes, when difficulty comes. These things matter. And we've realized who's going to bow the knee to social pressure and just kind of get what I call woke cookies.
Right.
It's like a little dog with a treat. Here's your woke cookie. Or the people that are going to say, stand up and say, wait a second, what are the facts? What's the real truth? Now, can those that are truth seekers also be deceived or read the wrong article or see a video that's not quite what it seems? Yeah, but at least they're seeking truth. Whereas those that are just regurgitating narratives aren't actually finding truth at all.
Okay, let me hit you with these questions really quick. Yes and no. Okay, before we go to break, if COVID was wiping out a third of America, would you still want people to gather in groups?
Depends.
Or would you say, let's hold off for a bit?
I would say it depends. At that point, I would look at the details of the groups, what size. I think some of these restrictions
exactly.
would make
in
sense.
In other words, you would adapt
I would
to
take
the facts
precautions.
On the floor. Yep. Okay, okay.
I would take precautions.
All right. If cops were really hunting down young black men at rates that were disproportionate for crime rates, right? And they were targeting and hunting down young black men, would you sit back and say, gee, that doesn't matter?
No, I would say we need major reform. I still wouldn't say defund. I would say major reform.
Right. Okay. So basically you do look at the numbers and that's why you're saying what you're saying. You're not saying, here's what I'm saying. You're not a white male Jesus freak who's throwing out numbers.
Right.
You're
right.
A God-fearing Christian who doesn't care about people's race or beliefs and basically is saying, I am looking at facts and figures
yes.
and applying them with love.
That's
that
so
fair?
Good. No, I love how you did that. You were saying, if their premises were actually true, then of course we would agree with some of their conclusions, but the premises aren't true. You just did a great job of pointing that out.
Yeah, because for me, that was the big problem was I was seeing facts being ignored. And the church being called anti-science.
Right.
When the church is the one bringing up all the numbers and all the science and all that. Okay. When we come back, Rob, I'm going to ask you, and it'll be a shorter segment. I really want to hear, what do we do going forward? How does 2021 look for the church, the good and the bad?
That's a great question.
And also, what are your plans with it? Sound good?
Great question.
Okay. Extreme Auto Repair is next. They want to help you with your vehicle needs. They've got Cooper tires at costs. So find Extreme Auto Repair at klzradio.com or give them a call at 303-841-1071, Extreme Auto Repair.
You never enjoy going to the dealership for maintenance because you always get the runaround. You'd much rather give your business to a local independent shop, but you assume you have to go back to the dealership to maintain your service contract. You bought the vehicle there, so you need to get it maintained there too, right? Wrong. Extreme Auto Repair will honor your service contract. Unlike most independent shops, Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will honor almost all service contracts. You pay your deductible just like you would at the dealership, and Extreme Auto Repair does the work. Two-time AAA award-winning Shop of the Year, Extreme Auto Repair in Parker does their best to make your life easier by offering everything you need to maintain your vehicle for as long as you drive it. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/extreme to find out whether or not Extreme Auto Repair will honor your dealership's service contract. Promises kept.
Franktown Firearms is next. You know, with COVID, Rob, a lot of us aren't getting out, right?
I know.
But that means we may not get to the range enough, so our shooting skills get rusty. Practice, 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 people. Get a membership at Franktown, and you can get a discount on your initiation fee at klzradio.com/Franktown.
The team at Franktown Firearms designed their indoor shooting range to be an oasis from the outside world where you can relax, unwind, and blow off a little steam. They've worked hard to keep their shelves stocked and prices low so they can provide a welcoming place to practice, learn, and take a break for a while. You may be seeing wiped out shelves everywhere else, but not at Franktown Firearms. The team at Franktown Firearms want to help you become an educated, well-trained, confident shooter. So they make sure you have everything you need to practice, including ammo. Buy a gun at Franktown, and they will have ammo for you to train with at a fair price. As a member of Franktown Firearms, you can reserve lane time 7 days a week, including after hours, so you can come by after work. Sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/Franktown. Mention Rush to Reason for a discount on your initiation fee. Franktown Firearms. Save money. Get treated well.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Some more sounds from Anna and the Apocalypse.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty fun music, isn't it?
It is.
It is. It's a lot of fun. They have a lot of fun singing while killing zombies, and that's not something I normally associate.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. But. Okay. All right, let's look forward.
It's a good way to do it.
2021, I want a one-word answer to start with.
Okay.
Is 2021 looking scary or promising for the church in America and Colorado?
Both.
Fair enough. Go ahead. Why?
Scary because there has been a divide, and I think more and more you're going to see churches that either partner with the state and are more in bed with the state. Even though we all believe in the separation of church and state, there's different definitions of what that means. But you're seeing those who are really trying to play by the state's rules and even placate to people and try to hold some middle ground on the fence. Let's not offend anybody. So you'll have those churches. And then you'll have the churches that I believe will open. And this is why it's hopeful. It's hopeful because there are churches that will stay true to their message, true to their purpose, true to the call of the gospel and the truth of Scripture.
Yeah, let me ask you this. If you teach a politically correct Jesus, okay, a Jesus that is, shall we say, stomachable,
right,
for
palatable.
Palatable, thank you, even better, for the modern world, then what are you converting people to?
Well, really, it's a false Jesus, to say it harshly. It's a different gospel. And that's what's so hard, is we have to have a church that's willing to have a little bit of backbone. You know, Billy Graham said, when brave men stand up with boldness, the spines of other men stiffen. And so I think you're going to see those pastors. I was looking at stats the other day, again, back to numbers, like you're saying.
Right.
And it was 360,000 out of 390,000 churches were closed, and I was doing the numbers.
For how long, roughly?
I didn't see that part.
Okay.
But I was doing the math. It was essentially 10%. 1 in 10 decided to remain open, and 30% would never open their doors again. Most likely, after these lockdowns, are never going to open again. That's projected.
Because of budgets.
Okay. And I'm just thinking, wow. And it reminded me of the story of the 12 spies, right? 12 spies came back from the land of Canaan when God told them to take the land. 10 of the 12 said, we can't do it. The giants are too big. Let's just roll over and die. Like, let's just forget about it. Don't even try. And 2 out of the 12 said, let's do it. Let's trust God. Let's move forward. So I do think you're going to have Joshua and Caleb churches, the minority of churches that say, come on, let's keep preaching. Let's stay strong. Let's be open. Let's resist a little bit and stay true to the word of God.
Do you see Christianity, the church, let me call it another word, churchianity. Do you see churchianity in America collapsing to a great deal in 2021?
Wow, that is a great way to put it. I've never heard that term coined. I like that.
Because I do believe real Christians are going to come out of these churches and come together at places like yours, by the way.
Wow.
But do you see a collapse coming in 2021? Not everywhere. I'm just talking.
I wouldn't say in 2021. I'd say the next 3 to 5 years,
okay,
the church will fundamentally transform in America. Exactly what you just said. That hits it on the head. Churchianity. I think we've idolized, in some ways, we've made too important the westernized church structures, all the big buildings and the budgets and the lights and the consumer-driven Christianity and the concert aura. Now, those things are amazing. I've done conference ministry my whole life. Like I said, I hosted an event this year in Fort Collins with 4,000 people outside. I love large gatherings. You see that all throughout the Bible, large gatherings where many people were impacted at one time. I mean, what Billy Graham did was incredible. However, the heartbeat of the church always has been and will be, from the early church until today, the house church. It has to be the heart of the local church. So for Spirit and Truth, the little church we're starting, you can find us on Facebook, whatever. House churches with locally governed lay, bivocational pastors, shepherds, will be the heartbeat of what we do, gathering in homes.
Well, let's talk from a business standpoint for a moment. Will that simply become necessary business-wise? You know, these church structures,
they take a lot of money.
I've got nothing against a big church
structure.
No,
me neither.
That's great. Mega churches and whatever.
No, my home church is a mega church. They do great work. They
right.
do great work.
But the mega churches, let's face it, they rose up at a time basically when Americans wanted one-stop shopping. And they wanted, you know, the youth group, the music, the whatever.
Yep.
And they wanted, you know, the big counseling program. They wanted it all under one roof.
Yep, yep.
Okay. And so they all gathered together and collected together. And meanwhile, each one of these churches, these mega churches, pretty much had a great speaker that they could all unite around to and get excited by. And, you know, that's great. I love some of these speakers. But is that sustainable financially going forward? We're talking about a country where your clientele, right, the people out there, have been completely mesmerized by the public education system and taught that God doesn't exist.
Well, there's three things that would hinder the finances of a local church, particularly in this time. One would be all the financial setbacks that all the individual congregants have, and they're like, because of the crisis. So one is the fact that people are hurting financially, so they don't have the money to give. Second would be that more and more churches are going to have to decide, do they want their 501(c) tax exemption, or do they want to defend truth? Because it's becoming almost impossible to do both, to take a stand on any serious political issue. If we want to see our nation continue to restore its freedoms and retain its freedoms, then pastors have to rise up and speak the truth. So another way they might lose funds is if they opt to speak out on important issues, marriage or abortion or freedom or COVID lockdowns or whatever, and they might lose exemption, therefore they lose giving. And then the third thing is just purely attendance and momentum killing restrictions like this. So one, people don't have the money. Two, the government might not continue to give us tax write-offs if Christians stand up and start speaking truth. And
okay, then so wait.
Three, we don't have the momentum of the gatherings to be able to do that. So all three of those things are against us.
Okay, outstanding. And we're going to go to break here pretty soon because Richard is coming up after the break. But in the third hour, let's also talk about that tax exemption.
Yep.
Because I think it's pretty ridiculous that non-religious people can come together in a group and talk about any of those topics they want.
Yep.
And they're taxpayers, and they get to get an exemption. And for whatever reason, people of faith can come together, talk about the exact same topics, and they get shut down and take.
It's literally only churches and religious organizations that are not supposed to. Now, Trump did lighten it. Now
yes, he did.
If you put a substantial part of your ministry, whatever that means, into lobbying or legislation or endorsing a candidate, then you're in infringement. You could lose the tax exemption. So now no one knows what that means. It's a very gray, what does substantial part of your ministry mean? But to answer that question you mentioned earlier of churchianity, I love how you said that, because COVID really did tear down a lot of the things we put our hope in, right? And distractions, even some good things, but you know, the sports and the entertainment and all these industries that I hope come back, and I hope people get their jobs back, and they're fun things. But one of the things it's also removed, which is sobering but kind of a wake-up call, is this churchianity, as you spoke of it, this formal way of doing American professional church. Now I wonder, Andy, I wonder, and this is what Spirit and Truth is all about, can we merge the two? Can we have a robust house church movement meeting house to house, week to week, with actual pastors who do most of the pastoral care and training and counseling and love and shepherding and teaching? And also on the weekends, all those house churches come together for a high impact service, but we keep the budgets as low as possible. Maybe we meet outdoors. Maybe there's got to be a way where most of the money goes to the mission, not to operation, and most of the pastoral work in homes, but happens in homes, but we could still come together on Sundays in a large format. That would be the best.
Basically, what you're saying is, for churches, let's do what John Rush does with businesses: adapt.
Come on.
Adapt to what is hitting you. Don't wilt in it.
Yes.
Get stronger. Be like gold, refined by fire.
Yes.
Don't burn up. Does that sound good?
And adapting, my only caveat would be, but don't just go online. Add the online services, but we're made for the human touch. Try house churches.
I think, and let me close with this, I think if you adapt just by going online, you're not adapting, you're wilting.
Ooh.
Because, I'm sorry, but,
that's
well,
good.
Look, I'm sorry, and I'm the online stuff is great, don't get me wrong. It's a great
supplement.
Adaptation.
It's a supplement.
If you take away the human touch, you've taken away church.
Come on, Andy. Let's
go. The fellowshipping of one another, we must not forsake it.
That's
okay.
Good.
Let's head out here. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Richard Rush is going to join us. Talk a little sports, because I got to talk a little sports. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, but first, wow. Purefoy Chevrolet. Folks, you don't stay in business since 1960 without knowing how to serve customers, provide great deals, and generate generational loyalty in families. Find out for yourself why so many people won't go anywhere else. Call Purefoy Chevrolet at 303-659-8311 or go to purefoychevrolet.com.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy, and after all these years and hundreds of radio spots on many stations, I still find it hard to convey how I feel about our dealership in Fort Lupton without it being just another 60 seconds of car dealer shtick and hype. Let's face it, there are only so many glowing things I could say about Purefoy Chevrolet. But at the end of the day, does the ad sell cars and trucks? I want and need your business, especially if you're in the market for a new Chevrolet or a decent used vehicle. And really, all I have to offer is a good buying experience that I know is sincerely appreciated and valued by our customers. 60 years in business has taught us many things that makes the difference in doing business. We're not perfect by any means, but we're honest about what we do and have the ethics and integrity to back it up. We have all the same factory rebates and incentives that all the other dealers have to offer, plain and simple. So do yourself a favor. If you're in the market for a vehicle or need reliable service, please give us a try. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton or on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Okay, affordable interest mortgage. Take some of that equity in your house, turn it into cash, and Kurt Rogers can often do it without increasing the cash flow you're paying out. Just give Kurt a call at 720-895-0500 or go to aimortgage.net. Affordable interest mortgage, where it's all about you.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home?
Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
And welcome back to Rush Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Richard Rush now joining us and here to talk a little about sports. How you doing, Richard?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
Doing well. Is there anything else you want to talk about or just sports?
You know, whatever you want to drive it, it's kind of, you know, I'm checked out because of my Broncos are just terrible. So NFL is interesting. Although your Packers had a nice little, you know, snow game in Lambeau there, although it was lacking from fans. Those are always my favorite. You know, you got all the fans bundled up and they're going crazy. And I mean, could you imagine that scene last night when they go off for 40 points in not a blizzard, but you know, a couple inches of snowfall would have been interesting.
You know, Aaron Rodgers had every quarterback's favorite game, one where you hand off all game.
Right? Well, I mean, you hand off and then just make the timely throws that he needed to make.
Yeah, but when you hand off all game and you're crushing, we have this young rookie running back, okay? His name is A.J. Dillon. He weighs 250. He's just like Christian Okoye. He looks like his skin is strung on too tight. Okay, the guy is so ripped, it's ridiculous.
Yep,
and so he's
yep.
ripping through them at 6 yards a carry. And you're just pummeling the opposition on the ground. And let's face it, Tennessee is a lousy defense. When you're doing that, and then you drop, you fake it to him and you drop back to throw, everybody's open. It's yeah. just, it's Christmas. It's candy season everywhere. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it is. No, it actually is. It's kind of a fun, well, you know, honestly, they did well in that regard, Andy. I'm not so sure about their first round pick and taking a quarterback there, but you know what? They yeah. did halfway decent in A.J. Dillon. And honestly, I think they're a real competition to the Chiefs. If they can get that far and, you know, make it through the NFC there, I think the Chiefs will probably make it unless they get tripped up by someone who can control the clock or take advantage of some turnovers. But, yeah, it's been good, Andy. And one thing I think the NFL has shown is that you can have a season without having to do a bubble. And it's been an encouraging thing. And I know we all feel that, you know, everyone should be in the stands anyways. It's a different conversation. But I feel like, you know, it's been very evident, very clear that, you know, you can do it. Obviously, the NFL is testing and doing the things that they're doing. And they've been fine. You know, they've had a few cases, and you had the Broncos situation, but for the most part, it's been a very, very successful season for everyone. And so I think that's an encouraging part. And, you know, we're kind of coming down to it, Andy. And obviously, I know we talked last week about Trevor Lawrence being a lucky guy.
Yes.
But he's out even luckier because he's now basically, well, he's not basically, he is guaranteed going to Jacksonville, having no state income tax in Florida,
yep,
and playing potentially half of his games in London, which isn't, I guess, the worst thing in the world.
He has got it made, doesn't he? I mean, he has absolutely got it. Hey, explain this to me. I know there are times in your life, Richard, where you did something really late. Like maybe you showed up at work, you have an 8-hour shift, and you show up 7.5 hours late. Okay, that would probably.
I've never gone that way, Andy. I did have a plane in college. I was heading back from the East yep. Coast, and it was on Thanksgiving, and I got my flight left at 4:05, and I got to the airport at 4, and somehow I made it on the flight. Believe it or not.
Wow.
But that's the latest I've ever been someplace.
Okay, well, I just want you to explain to me why the New York Jets decided to wait this long to make a playoff push. They waited until they were 0-13.
You know, I think because
they just beat up two playoff teams.
Stick it to the players just wanted to stick it to the fans and say, no, you don't get the number one pick. You're stuck with Sam Darnold for another year, or potentially, Zach Wilson of BYU or something that way. So yeah, it's kind of funny in that regard, Andy, you know, how that played out for the old Jets fans. You semi-feel bad for them, although they are some of the most obnoxious fans known to man. So it doesn't necessarily hurt me too much to know that they don't necessarily get their franchise quarterback they're looking for. But, you know, Andy, this is what makes the NFL so great. You know, the NBA, right, they've got quite a bit of offseason movement. The NFL doesn't quite have that. You know, they have a little bit of free agents, but they don't have the trades and so on and so forth. But that's one thing about the NFL is obviously we go straight into playoffs, and then simultaneous with playoffs is draft prep, right? You see these teams, and they're starting to do that. They're going to make coaching changes. You're going to see coaching hires and GM hires and all the above. And it's what makes it exciting, and it's why they're the king of the sports world. And, you know, they have been for a while now, and unless they screw something up that they're not going to kind of relinquish that. I wanted to get your opinion, Andy.
Yeah.
It seems like it's a foregone conclusion next year that they are adding a 17th game.
Yes.
So the NFL was going to shorten the preseason, but, you know, maybe by one game. Let's not get carried away. The owners love their money. And they're going to add the 17th game, which will allow, you know, obviously for more revenue, more income that way, because it's going to be a full game. They can tack it. But some teams are going to get I've heard rumors that they're going to do kind of that'll be an international game for all teams, or, you know, it'll alternate it being either your ninth away game or your ninth home game. And so teams are going to love it. What do you think about that? Is that going to be good or bad for the league?
Okay, it depends on how they do it. And here's been my opinion all along on this, Richard. I believed in having a 17th game if you start the season 2 weeks earlier, take out two games of the preseason, and have two bye weeks. And because, look, I know you lose some money, right, because of the revenue, but the preseason games are not huge on revenue anyway. The viewing is way down, right? You're not making that much. You're going to get the exact same television contracts, which is where the big money is anyway, and give those players, because that's a long season, give them 2 weeks off spaced in during the season so that they can get their bodies right and get through this, and then maybe the players buy on to it. What do you think?
Well, the players have already bought on to it because they agreed to it as part of the CBA. So the players are buying into it. I don't think they're going to get their extra bye week, although I don't necessarily know it's a bad idea because you're just lengthening the season. Personally, Andy, I think they should lengthen the season into January because I think that...
No, I'm fine with that.
In the series next week, yeah, so I think that, you know, this next week would be the second to last game. Then you have one more week, and then... Again, by potentially doing another bye week, you can lengthen it even further depending on the preseason situation and stuff. And the reason I think that's a good idea is because I think the NFL needs to get the Super Bowl to be President's Day weekend because that's a federal holiday. Most schools are out. Obviously all federal buildings and stuff. So a good portion of the country, even corporate, are out that Monday. You'd get even more buy-in, believe it or not, even larger celebrations. It's just kind of the money-making, you know, scheme that the NFL is looking for.
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, that sounds great to me. Totally for it. I'm down for that. Let me float by you a controversial idea I floated by your dad a week ago, okay? And this has to do with COVID and vaccines. First of all, obviously, I'm not for forcing anyone to get it. I'm just talking about availability, all right? I believe that while people are saying, hey, we've got to get this thing first to the, you know, frontline workers and the people who are at most risk. And I'm for that with you when you're talking those tax funded vaccines that we're getting out there to them. But what about
Andy, I'm sorry, I'm hearing music in my ear. Are you hearing music?
I do not hear any music. Do you hear any music?
Oh, there we go. Nope, now it's gone.
Oh, Charlie says that was me, sorry. Charlie, are you playing your music again? You kids and your rock music stuff. Is there any time you can just turn that garbage off? Okay.
No, it was good. I like it, Charlie.
Okay. Anyway, actually, Charlie has the best music. Okay, here's my idea. What about if these pro sports teams were allowed, because they've got the budget and it would bring in a lot more money for them, if they were allowed to right now provide immunizations, you know, for all of their players and the members of their team, their whole outfit, but they would have to also provide it for all their season ticket holders free and say, it's an option. You can have it and get everybody back in the stands.
Oh, well, and honestly, you know, if the immunizations weren't the kind of the two-stage and so on and so forth,
right.
I totally agree with you. I think it would be an interesting conversation, most definitely. And honestly, Andy, I could see teams, because the NFL knows they can't go another season without fans in the stands.
Right.
So they are going to do everything in their power this next summer to make that happen, even if that means their stadiums are used as, I'm going to call it injection sites. I think it'll sound like, you know, people are shooting up heroin.
Well, and by the way, I'm talking, if you're talking two stage and you got to do that, first of all, that would still get them ready for the playoffs. But I was talking more
correct.
NBA.
Well, absolutely. Sorry, absolutely. And you're 100% correct in that. I agree with you. I just don't think there's necessarily enough of the vaccine out there for them to do that right now. Again, I'm still a fan of, you know, let's sign waivers and do some of this other stuff that, you know, people want to do. And again, I don't even think we need the vaccine in
totally.
That regard.
Yes.
You know, let's get people going, you know, back right now. And that's the thing at the NBA, which I think is interesting, is you're seeing that happen. I just think, Andy, more so than ever, the fan has become a integral part, or even more of an integral part than ever before, in that they have, you know, they are essentially being defined as they have to be there, right? Where it was kind of fading away, fans were kind of important, but not really. Well, no, they are what pays the player salaries, and it has never been more evident than now.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty weird at Lambeau Field when you leap into the stands and there's no one to catch you.
Right. You're just sitting atop the wall.
I know. It's like, you know, this does not have the same thrill. I'm sorry, it's not working for me. And no, just no. Hey, tell you what, can you hold on through the break? I want to ask you about Drew Lock
yep.
when we come back.
Yep.
All right, let's do that. First up, though, is Gino's Auto. Right now, Gino's Auto Service, one of the best, most trusted auto shops in Littleton, is offering new customers $50 off any work that's $250 or more. Are you ready for great work and honest people? Just call Gino's at 303-794-6700, or you can find them at ginosautoservice.com.
If there's one thing Gino's knows, it's that a well-maintained vehicle performs and lasts, especially during the harsh and sudden Colorado winter weather. Take advantage of Gino's free multi-point inspection. We'll evaluate your vehicle by looking at your fluid levels, belts, hoses, and filters. Any maintenance or repair work on your vehicle comes with a NAPA Peace of Mind warranty, covering parts and labor for 36 months or 36,000 miles. To make your life simpler, Gino's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when ready. Gino's continues to service Larry's Automotive customers through NAPA Auto Care, warranting any work you may have had done. If you think your vehicle will benefit from our multi-point inspection, give Gino's a call or go online to schedule an appointment. We're AAA approved and located at Bulls and Platte Canyon in Littleton. Stay safe this winter. Stop in or visit us online at ginosautoservice.com. That's Gino's with a J.
All right, Bruce Simmons with American Liberty Mortgage. You know, I keep saying it, don't wait until you retire. A reverse mortgage line of credit will continue to grow tax-free until the day you need it. And Bruce Simmons can show you how. Give Bruce a call at 303-467-7821, or you can find Bruce Simmons at klzradio.com.
Owning a relatively high-value home does not make you immune to cash flow problems. It's more expensive to maintain and insure. Property taxes seem to go up every year. And of course, you may have a sizable mortgage payment to make every month. You don't want to sell, but you wish you had a little more margin in your budget. As long as you continue to pay your taxes and insurance, a reverse mortgage with KLZ's Bruce Simmons could give you the financial cushion you need. Thanks to recent changes by the Federal Housing Administration, you may be able to eliminate your monthly mortgage payment, setting you up comfortably for as long as you live in the home. Starting in January of 2021, homeowners 62 years and older with higher value homes may tap into a larger portion of their equity, giving them a better chance of qualifying for the loan. Get in touch with Colorado's first certified reverse mortgage specialist now at klzradio.com/reverse.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Marianne with Brightview Landscaping Services said, "I would just like to say that we really enjoy working with BES. If I need a toner, I just make a call and they send it out right away. If we have any issues with our equipment, which we rarely do, they come out right away and our copier that we lease works very well. I would highly recommend this company to any business that's interested in having great customer service and equipment that works great." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
All the bells ring in excelsis, holy angels sing.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's afternoon rush, KLZ 560. More music from Anna and the Apocalypse. Richard, you gotta admit, that's kind of snappy, kind of fun music. Christmassy, what do you think?
Oh, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Okay, what's not Christmassy? Well, I guess in terms of giving away is your quarterback, Drew Lock. And I got to talk about this because
he tends to give away a lot.
Yeah, he tends to give away an awful lot. He's very Santa-y, but not with his own team. And as you just saw, the Washington football team, I hate that, by the way, they just got rid of their quarterback who was sucking it up bad. What's happening with you guys and Drew Lock? Now, it's only year two, and the guy has tons of ability. But you look at the quarterback for the Bills, Josh Allen, is a young guy with all the ability, but he's tearing up the entire league. Drew Lock isn't. What are you guys going to do? I mean, because this is a big QB draft coming up.
It is. Andy, I don't know if the Broncos are going to be bad enough to get that. Even if they lose on Sunday against the Raiders, and then they somehow, a certain combination of other teams lose, I think the lowest or the highest, depending on how you look at it, goes, they can get to six, pick six, right?
Yeah.
So not too bad, but you still have teams like the Jets, obviously, you have teams like the Jets, the Jaguars, of course, potentially the Falcons taking a quarterback. Potentially, I don't think the Giants. Well, I think they'll give Daniel Jones another year, depending on where they sit.
Back up to the Jets. Miami. Back up to the Jets for a second. Do you see them using that high pick on a quarterback? Because their quarterback has played a couple good games.
Yeah, honestly, Andy, I think it's going to be depending upon. I don't even think it's Justin Fields for them, because I think he's going to semi. I think he's semi been exposed, and I think he's going to be exposed against Clemson.
Okay.
I think it's Zach Wilson of BYU. If they like him enough, and then I think the same thing can be said for, you know, the Falcons and such, and if they go. So I'm with you. I wholeheartedly agree. I just don't know if the Broncos can get there. And so to that I say, kind of like, why were we keeping Vic Fangio as our head coach? What are your better options? And I just don't know if the Broncos have any better options. So I think, and my prediction, or not prediction, my preference is run it back with them next year. With Drew Lock, maybe bring in some competition, maybe a veteran guy that can kind of help him understand what it means. Because really, Andy, he's just now at 17 starts. And keep in mind, Josh Allen had two full years. This is his third full year. He basically had two full years of starting before he even resembled, obviously, to this year. And even then, people didn't expect him to make the jump that he made this year. And so it took a while. And I'm not saying Broncos fans need to wait that long by any stretch of the imagination, but I think that they definitely need to consider kind of the circumstance. And that's not the unfortunate part for the Broncos, is John Elway, for the longest time, said, we're not rebuilding, we're not rebuilding, we're not rebuilding. When in reality, probably 2 years ago or 3 years ago, she said, yeah, we're rebuilding.
Right.
We're going to find our quarterback. We're going to draft. You know, there's going to be some long, tough years ahead of us. Then you're setting the expectations, right? Again, it's how the politicians did the exact opposite with COVID.
Right.
You know, oh, you guys are good. You know, this is just for, you know, 3 weeks. Okay, now it's 3 months. Okay, it feels like it's
right.
going to be 3 years,
you know,
before we open anything up. And so I think that it's going to be an interesting dynamic to see. And so I think the Broncos fans need to be patient. And the way I look at it, Andy, is if Drew Lock's your starting quarterback next year, he's either going to learn from his mistakes this year, he's going to make some progress, and he's going to be the quarterback that people think he can be, or he's going to be terrible. Your draft pick is going to go up, and then you have a shot, because who knows what's going to happen next year with the quarterbacks, who maybe comes out next year, or even if it doesn't, then, okay, you figure it out. But I think it's high time for the Broncos to pick a direction and go with it, because the worst thing you can do, Andy, and you know this, whether it be business, you know, wife, whatever it is to not know the direction in which you're going.
Okay, let me give
and
you.
I think that's the biggest thing.
Let me give you my prediction really quick because I'm agreeing with you. I say you stay with Drew Lock because why take the third best quarterback in the draft next year when you can get the number one player at another key position like offensive line or something like that? They can get a showstopper at another position rather than the number three guy. So I'm with you there. But Rob has a question
for
you.
Yeah, I want to jump in here, Richard. Good to hear from you, man. I don't know if our listeners know this, but Richard and I used to play football together in high school.
We did.
So what a blast that was. And I haven't kept up on the sport as much as you have. So I'm learning a lot here listening. But I was just wondering, man, what is your playoff picture prediction looking like? I see a lot of Chief bandwagon fans. I mean, obviously, they're looking pretty darn good. It's interesting how many come out of the woodwork claiming to be fans when teams are looking good. But are you on the Chiefs train? What are you looking for the playoffs here?
I'm not on the Chiefs.
All right, tell me why.
I can't do it. I'm just a diehard Broncos fan. So as much as I think Mahomes is a stud and he's awesome, I just can't buy into it, although he's really fun to watch. And honestly, I think that they have probably a higher chance than not or higher likelihood than not of actually making the Super Bowl. It's all going to depend on, you know, can another team kind of help them stub their toe, whether it be the Titans potentially, or if the Colts can sneak in or something along those lines. And I think the NFC, kind of like I said before, is very open. I think the Packers can come out. I think the Saints could come out. And I even think, you know, okay, the Seahawks, if they get hot at the right time, you know, could they come out? And I just think there's kind of in Tampa Bay, obviously, with Tom Brady, you never know what's going to happen
so
there.
Everything's
so
on the table
I think
right
it'll
now.
Be interesting. Yeah, exactly. I think it'll be exciting. Either way, I think it's going to be an exciting playoff. It's our first year ever with 7 playoff teams rather than standard, you know, 6 teams. So really, you get an extra game here on Wild Card Weekend in 2 weeks, and so I think that's going to be exciting. And, and honestly, man, I'm pretty stoked. So,
that's
Richard,
awesome.
Really quick here, who are the top 2 teams, would you say, in the AFC that are threats to the Chiefs? Buffalo or
good question.
Who do you think?
You know, I'm going to go with Andy. I honestly still think the Titans are, just because of the game that they can play come January. They can ball control it that way. And I know the Steelers have really struggled, but if they can find their groove again, that defense is good enough to hamper the Chiefs to be able to do it. And then my dark horse, and this is obviously if they make the playoffs, Andy, is the Colts.
They're
I think
dangerous.
The Colts with Phillip Rivers and their defense, they do a really good job, and they can do a really, really good job at kind of making life difficult that way. So those are kind of my 3 teams.
I think
the Chiefs beat all of them, but, you know, who knows?
Fantastic. Okay, thanks, Richard. And that'll wrap it up for hour number 2. Hour number 3 is coming up next here on Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.